Final segment of the show. It's the Pomp and Joe show here. Joe had to leave early. Austin is behind the glass. And we have some news concerning Russell Wilson. There was talk after the game that Brian Daboll may make a switch to Jackson Dart. He may pull the trigger early. After the game, he was non-committal. But today, Austin, he was committal. And what did he say?
Yeah, it will be Mr. Unlimited. Broncos country will ride in week two against the Dallas Cowboys.
They ride maybe right into a ditch. They'll be 0-2 the way things are going up there. And if that's the case, at some point you're going to see Jackson Dart. That's a lot of pressure on a first-round pick coming in, especially given that city and the amount of media coverage it gets and also the amount of criticism it gets from his fans. But he seems up to it. At least he did in the preseason. But the regular season is a whole different game.
The fact that they're already talking quarterback change after week one, Bob, was it really that bad of a game for the Giants? Like, it wasn't good.
Well, they scored 6 points.
Right. But, I mean, they're already ready to pull that ripcord.
He could have avoided this altogether by saying, Russell Wilson's our quarterback for now. You know, he could have done that yesterday. By not doing it, he opened up all of this stuff.
Yeah, he opened up Pandora's box for today there to be a possibility. That's why all the insiders are tweeting it out at the exact same time. Russell Wilson will be the starter.
All right, so they're going to name a quarterback of the week. They do this with promotional companies they have out there. They have a running back, the FedEx Ground running back guy of the week, and it'll be Derrick Henry, even though he had that critical fumble, I think. But if you had a choice between Josh Allen and Aaron Rodgers for your quarterback of the week, who would you pick?
See, to be completely honest, and here's why, I would go with Aaron Rodgers because he's 41. The expectations, what were they? We expect Josh Allen to be great, and Josh Allen was great. Aaron Rodgers, did anybody expect him to come out and throw 4 touchdowns in this game? People were saying the score was going to be like 13-6. They put up 34 points. Like, I'm going to give Aaron Rodgers a little pat on the back here for being able to go out there and have that number that he did, 240 passing yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks, in a debut. Nobody has ever done that.
Right. It's so only quarterback Aaron in the last 60 years to do that. He had the higher passer rating in the last 7 years of any Steeler quarterback. That's all well and good. I got to be honest, though. I would take into account the 41 is a good thing. He's 41, and you know, the expectations were not the same as they are in Buffalo. But given Buffalo, that situation they were in, given the opposition, which was a team many people predicted to win a Super Bowl this year and still might, I would have to go with him only because of the deficit they were in and how he, more than anyone, guided them to the points they needed. He had over 200 yards passing in the final, like, 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
And that's when they needed it the most. So, yeah, maybe there could be co-winners, whatever the case may be, because both did great jobs. I would also think that Justin Herbert should be in there somewhere because of what he did in that game. But other than those three, I don't think anyone else would qualify.
There's really no wrong answer here. Like, well, let's be real. There isn't. Josh Allen is going to end up probably winning it. And he's very deserving. He's very worthy of this award based on what he did. I think it's interesting also, though, that Rodgers leads the NFL in touchdown passes. His four lead, nobody else threw four this weekend.
That's true.
Nobody else did that. So Rodgers, statistically, plus he did it on the road, plus he did it against his former team that gave up on him, has a lot of feathers in that cap.
No, there's no question.
But you're right. Allen had a great day.
Allen pulled off a comeback that nobody thought possible, made possible by Baltimore contributing to it. Like, normally, when you deal with comebacks, normally there is a team that contributes to it. If they don't fumble that, there is no comeback. It's as simple as that. And again, I go back to the play right before halftime. If he doesn't make that play, which set up an unlikely field goal, 3 points made a big difference. After Sean McDermott was trying to catch up with 2-point conversions and he kept going backwards in that regard. Another example of doing too much expectation on 2-point conversions early in games. There's no need for them until you really need them, I think.
Yeah, they've had that issue with, do you go for two now? Do you decide not to? Like, it seems like that's kind of an NFL issue where, like, a certain amount of teams that always go for two, like, you see it a lot with Detroit, they'll do it in instances. But when you really need to, when your back is against the wall, and you ultimately decide, well, 9-point game, 8-point game, 7-point game. That's something that has just never been figured out, though, Bob. It's like a perfect science.
No.
Some people still decide to chase the points instead of doing it when they ultimately need to, whether it be like their last drive. I kind of would rather do it earlier, though, just because I'd rather put myself in that position later where, yeah, I have more time to be able to make up for it. But if I can make an 8-point game, a 6-point game where I score a touchdown and I kick the extra point and I win, I think it's a worthwhile gamble.
Yeah, it depends. There are a lot of people out there who have different feelings about this. Yesterday, I'm one of those, like, for example, the Jets. I would have kicked the extra point after the penalty. They missed it. Penalty on the Steelers, kick it again. Ever since then, they had to chase that. And those 2-point conversions that did not work cost them. So, all right, the thing about Russell Wilson, he's going to go against the Cowboys. You talk about an interesting game the two teams desperately need to win. And what were your thoughts of George Pickens? Not much in that first game. I expected a little bit more, but again, it's one game.
He committed a couple of penalties and looked like he was disinterested, Bob.
And blocking, not his forte. I mean, when he does engage to it, he's pretty good. When he doesn't, he looks terrible. And that was one of those situations that we saw there. As far as the Steelers at Seattle coming in this coming week, we'll spend a lot of time talking about what the Steelers have to do to get to 2-0. And I think we all believe that if they're going to do anything this year, they have to start fast. Last year was proof positive. It was 10-3. They took advantage of an early season schedule. And they ran into a wall after that. This year, there'll be another wall waiting for them. They got some tough teams at the end of the year. But if they start fast and win these games that they're supposed to win, it gives them some cushion. I expect the Steelers, and I looked at the line of that game, and I expect it to be bigger than it is. I think what is the line? I think it's changed, actually. I saw one, and then later in the day, I saw it change. Seattle should, in my view, should be a 5.5 to 6.5 point underdog in this game. I know it's not that high.
No, right now it's 2.5.
See, I would take the Steelers all day on that one.
I would too.
I just don't. Seattle strikes me as a team that's going to struggle offensively right now. But for some reason, it's 2.5 in that game.
Well, especially you're taking that show on the road that's had some trouble with their running game. That it's still, look, they got Jaxon Smith-Njigba. They got Cooper Kupp. Kupp didn't have that great of a day.
No.
Not a good debut for him in Seattle. What is Sam Darnold going to look like on the road? These are all significant questions where I don't think Seattle, like, do they have a very good offensive mind at coordinator? I don't think so. It's a defensive culture with Mike McDonald. The Steelers should be able to hold their own against Seattle.
Plus, they have to travel all the way. They had a tough loss yesterday to a rival, San Francisco, and they got to go across country. That never seems to be a recipe for success for any of those teams coming over there. But, you know, there are games the Steelers have had in the past that make you think, oh, this is a must win, or this is an easy win, or a game they should win, and they stumble. We've seen that over the years, and that's one of those. So I don't think it'll happen on the home opener like it did a few years ago when San Francisco came here.
They took over the stadium.
Oh, my goodness. I couldn't believe how many. You never see that in Pittsburgh.
Ever.
Never. But they did, and they came in, and they dominated the game as well. So
you think this could be that game where
– No.
You don't think
I think New England more has – the New England game is more of one of those upset alert kind of games, I would think. On the road –
But yeah, but I don't even think they're favored in that game. I think the Patriots are favored at home against them in that.
Yeah, but if you're a Steelers fan, you look at that game, you say, that's one you got to win, right?
I think they're going to lose. I predicted them to lose at the beginning of the season.
All right, well, I would expect them to win that game. Would I be surprised if they lost? No. But again, if you're going to look at their schedule down the road, there are a lot of tough games. And while they can hold their own in the AFC North against some of these teams, I mean, you want to give yourself as much cushion as you can. And against New England and Seattle, they should win those games. All right, the 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. What's Cooking is brought to you by your local GEICO rep, Mr. Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Austin, for being very alert back there, doing all the things you do. You got a lot of stuff going on back there. It's like a symphony of things.
Well, thank you for steering the ship today, Bob.
Well, yeah, and we miss Joe. Hopefully everything's good, and he'll be back here in the meantime. Join us every day from 10 to 2. We didn't talk about Bubba Chandler real quick before we go. I was just disappointed that he got beat around. But then again, Milwaukee's one of those teams that they could beat every team. They're really good. I think Pat Murphy's going to win Manager of the Year for the second year in a row. I mean, Chandler gave up 9 runs yesterday in his first ever start. Am I going to overreact to that? No, because he was pretty good in the first 3 times we've seen him.
But, yeah, see, I originally wanted him to come up and start. Like, that is what I wanted. They put him in the bullpen. He had 3 outings, 3 pretty decent outings. I mean, the last one against the Dodgers was, you know, a little ho-hum. But he gets the opportunity to start, and very good. Now, I wouldn't take the opportunity away from him. I would throw him right back out there in 5 days
And that's what September is for a team that's in last place. You got to see what you got. Let him go out and see how he adapts.
Right.
Does it affect him in his next outing? All these things you can learn from. I think he's a pretty tough kid. It's just one of those days. I think Milwaukee's a really good hitting team. Yeah. Underrated.
Tough day. I kind of wish they would have got him out of there a little bit earlier when, you know, you give up 9 runs. That can kind of be a little bit wary on a, you know, 22-year-old kid's confidence. It can have some effect, but I think ultimately he's that type of mentality and personality where Bubba Chandler can just shake it off and be able to recover from this and bounce back out there against a team that is not the Brewers, that is not the best team in all of baseball, and does not have a team that has a bunch of nobodies that end up absolutely killing the ball, people that you've never heard of that compliment a lot of their stars like Yelich and the other guys that they have factoring in.
But they're just a fundamentally strong team. I made a bet on them at the very beginning of the season that they would get to the World Series. I don't know if they could win it, but I just thought they have the kind of team that goes underrated because everybody talks about the Juan Sotos, the Dodgers of the world, the Phillies. But here they are. Every year they figure out a way to win a division and be competitive, and they have the kind of team that can do it again.
Yeah, and the Dodgers are somewhat of a mess, too, this year, Bob. Like, they are...
Yeah, they're struggling. The fact that they got swept here, and then that other... Did you see the game on Friday night where they had a lead?
No.
They were, I think it was 3-0 into the bottom of the ninth. Yamamoto was throwing a no-hitter, I think it was. Whatever the case. So Baltimore breaks it up, and then they go on to score like 4 or 5. I don't know how what the specific run total was, but they were down to their last out, I think, and he had a no-hitter going. And they lost a no-hitter, and they lost the game.
They avoided being swept by Baltimore yesterday.
Yeah, so they're struggling for sure.
7 of their last 10 they've lost.
Yeah, teams go through it, but not that team with that payroll. All right, we're out of time, but before I go, I want to tell you about Pittsburgh weather today. Sunny with a high of Evgeny Malkin, 71, a low of 54, Zach Frazier. Fan weather is brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. We'll reconvene tomorrow at 10 a.m. As always, stick around. The PM team is coming up. KDK-TV Sports Tonight. Rich Walsh will have a Steelers Monday edition, first of the new year. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Austin, always appreciate it.
Thanks, Bob.
Have a good day, and we'll see you again tomorrow right here on the Pomp and Joe Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.